Both. All right, we've got a couple guests from the Adler Planetarium itself here tonight. Coming up first, the astronomer and director of the Astroscience Workshop, Mark Hammergren.
Hi, everybody. I have to follow that. All right. I am so glad I don't work on the gas giants. Instead, I'm one of the astronomers here. My specialty is asteroids. So talking about the ruin to the litter, talk about Pluto feeling bad because of its size. There's poor Pluto. It's about 1,473 miles across. The asteroids that my team and I look at start at maybe a few miles across in size and go down all the way. Smallest one we've looked at is about 4 meters across. It's a chunk of space rock, literally small enough to fit inside this room up here, filling the stage behind me. And we look at these things so we can track them and make sure that they're not going to hit the Earth anytime soon. Maybe figure out what they're made of so we can use them as space resources or know what to do if one comes our way. So this story, though, is not about the asteroids we've been looking at recently. It goes back a little bit further than that, about 6 years, for a special connection I made with one particular space rock, this rock named 2008 TC3. Lovely, lyrical names these things have. So it's about 6 years ago. It was a night in October 2008. An astronomer, Rich Kowalski, in Arizona at the Catalina Sky Survey. It's one of these surveys looking for hazardous asteroids. He was double-checking automatic detections on the screens. And he found one, confirmed it was a real object, just a little point of light moving on the screen. From how fast it was moving on the screen, he figured this one was pretty close. So he took his observations, put them together, made the measurements, sent them off, like you do with all of these things, to the Harvard-Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics, the Minor Planet Center there. It's the International Clearinghouse for Data. They get this stuff there, process it automatically. They fit an orbit to the points and figure out where the asteroid is and where it's going. And sometimes the orbits are known so poorly that you really can't exclude the possibility of a collision with Earth. And there the chances get to be something like 20,000 to 1 against. And this time, though, when they spat out the orbit and came back, it caused him to sit right back up in his chair because the chance of a collision was 100%. It was a sure thing. So next question, of course, is, well, when is it going to hit? And the answer was 19 hours. This is a real story. So, of course, this made astronomers all over the world take notice. And so asteroid scientists got to their telescopes. Those who were there already slewed over to that area of the sky, took repeated observations. Over the next 19 hours, they took something like 600 measurements of position, really nailed down where this thing was headed, and to the point where they could figure out where it was going to hit within about a kilometer. And the answer to that was middle of the night, right in the Nubian Desert of northern Sudan, so out in the middle of nowhere. And so the authorities notified whoever they could find around there. And at the appointed time and place, this space rock, luckily, it was only about 4 meters across, like that one we had looked at, about maybe 10, 13 feet, came in, appointed time and place, burned up in the atmosphere, broke up into thousands of rocks. It wasn't until a couple months afterwards that a researcher from NASA and some Sudanese scientists, they mounted an expedition, went out to the middle of the desert, middle of nowhere, and they found little tiny bits of space rock. About a year after that, there was a conference that was organized about this interesting event. And so, you know, this conference was going to be held in Khartoum, Sudan. Now, Sudan, you think about that, you think maybe Darfur. You think about the civil war that's been going on in the south there for 30 years. You think about maybe Sudan hosting Osama bin Laden through most of the 1990s. And you think, this is a place for a professional conference? So the opportunity came up, and I said, yeah, sure, let me go to that. Because not only were we going to have a workshop about this asteroid, we were going to go out into the desert and look for these space rocks. I'd never, ever found a meteorite, which is a piece of asteroid. Never found one before in my life. This was my chance. So we went out there. It was a real adventure, these big desert buses and going out through the sands, the great sand road out there. And we get out there, set up tents, and fantastic time. And I'm talking to the Sudanese students along on this trip. And they say, where are you from? And I say, I'm from Chicago. And the student's face falls. He just collapses and he says, oh, Chicago. Here in Chicago is not so safe. Yeah, so we you know, searched on the desert there. And there I was looking around. And there in the sand, I see this black rock. I rush up over to it, and we weren't supposed to touch it, just draw a circle around it and wait for the recovery crew to come. But I looked up close, and here it was, a space rock, a chunk of rock from asteroid 2008 TC3. It was the first of about 8 meteorites that I found during the course of those 2 weeks. So, you know, that one, even though I didn't find it, that I didn't find the asteroid, I found the meteorites that came from it, and that'll always be special to me. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mark. That was great. Chris, how do you feel now? Jesus.